Okay, we're starting here on the top of Kufiyud Gimel Amid Aleph by the two dots. The Mishnah says, Kitvei HaKodesh Yiganzu. So when it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh, they put on the Gnizah, which means that they otherwise should have been burnt as part of the Shlal of the Irani Dachat, but we save them because they are Kitvei HaKodesh, and we are Gonez them instead of burning them out of respect for the Kitvei HaKodesh. Mar says, Matnitin Delok Rabbi Lazar. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Lazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kol Ir Sheyesh Ba Afilu Mezuzah Achat, Einan Asir Irani Dachat. Any city that has even a single mezuzah in the city, it cannot be made into an Irani Dachat Shenemar. So after Be'eshet Ta'ir, Ve'ez Klosh La'la Kalil. You have to burn everything, top to bottom, you have to clear out the city and burn it. And if that's the case, Ve'echadik a mezuzah, if you have a mezuzah in there, Lo Efshar, you can't burn it down. Because you can't burn a mezuzah, Dichtiv, Lo Tasun Kein La'Shem L'Kechem. But the Pasuk in Devarim says, Ve'ibadim et Shemam, that you have to wipe out all the avodah zarah min hamakom hu, and then afterwards says losa tasun kein l'Hashem l'kechem. Don't do such to you, Hashem. In that, even though you're instructed to destroy avodah zarah, there's a prohibition against destroying things that are kodesh or things that are designated for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that Rav Elazar applies to mezuzah. Because of that, he says that the mezuzah cannot be burnt. If that's the case, the yirani, you cannot be mikayim the tzivui of yirani dachat, and therefore it will never become a yirani dachat as long as there is a mezuzah in the city, or Kitvei HaKodesh in the city. So where it says, the next piece of our Mishnah, which is, there is a machlokes about the rebuilding of the city. And the Irani Dachat, are you not allowed to rebuild anything there? Or you're just not allowed to rebuild residential areas? You can't have it be a place where people live, but you can make it into Ginot, a Pardesim. You can use it for other purposes. So that machlokes, the Gemara says, Lema, but the Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Eloah, Plaka Miflege. Let us say that they argue in this principle of Rabbi Avin, which is, Damar Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Eloah, Komakom Shata Mutse Klau Be'asei. Uprat Belotase. When you have a general statement or principle as laid out as an asse, as a positive commandment, and then there's a negative commandment, you have a prat, a more detailed explanation. We don't use the usual rules of klal uprat. The usual rules of klal uprat is if I have a general statement and then a particular statement, we say that the prat is mefaresh the klal. The prat explains to us exactly what the klal is speaking about, and therefore, ein bachlal elamashi prat. The only thing that's in the klal is what is in the prat. That's the normal way of a klal uprat. Over here, Rabbi Avin says when it's an asein a lotase, meaning that we're mixing and matching positive and negative commandments, we don't use it as a klal uprat. And therefore, the klal, which is vaitat helolam, it should remain a pile of destruction, that is the asei, a general statement. And then loti bane ot, that it should not be rebuilt, that's the lotase. So had I learned it as a klal uprat, I would have learned that vaitat helolam, it's a pile of rubble or destruction forever. And then, what is that? Loti baneot. Loti bane is referring to binyanim. That's talking about buildings, a batim. So if I had allowed it to be a klal uprat, I would have limited the restriction of aitat el olam to binyan batim. And that's exactly what their machlokas revolves around. If you hold as a klal uprat, then the limitation on which, or to which you are not allowed to rebuild the city is only about buildings or residential buildings. But other types of usages, for instance, ginot and pardesim, those would be fine because they're not violating this restriction. On the other hand, if you think that they're two separate lavim, we don't say klal uprat because one's an asay and one's a lotase. Then you have one of two ways to learn it. Rashi offers one way is to say that they're actually two separate entities, and therefore it is, first of all, vaita tel olam, that it will be a tel olam, and tel olam would have just, it would be the ginot to pardesim. Loti baneod, it will not be rebuilt. Ko ben yomim sholam. Anything in the world, afilu ginot pardesim, loti baneot. Meaning that both the asay and the lota asay are independent items, and they both refer to everything. You can't, there's an asay too against rebuilding it, and there's a lota asay against rebuilding. That's one way to learn it. Or the other possibility is to learn that there's an iser asay. And ochanamida, the tzuru loti baneot is the lav. And that only refers to binyanim, to buildings. On the other hand, the asay, haita tel olam, remains, but it's not limited or minimized by the lav, and therefore it applies to everything. And there will be an iser asay to use it for ginot or pardesim. There's still an asay or heitat al olam. There will be a restriction, even though loti baneo doesn't refer to it. So it actually gives those two possibilities. If you don't learn it as a klal uprat, either it means that everything's included in the asay and everything's included in the lotasay, or possibility that the lotasay is still limited, but the asay is not limited by the lotasay. Therefore, the asay includes everything, and the ginot or pardesim will be subjected to a iser asay. So that's what the Gemara says. So let's suggest like this. That based on this, Demar itle de Rabbi Avin, Umar leitle de Rabbi Avin. when it comes to their opinions in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva, who says that we are dying the Klal Uprat, because he thinks you could use it for Ginot and Pardesim, he does not have the position of Rabbi Avin. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like Rabbi Avin is not Doresh the Klal Uprat, and therefore, he says even Ginot and Pardesim are problematic, either because of Nisar Asay or because of Lota Silagamre. When he says, no, the Kulimama Itlu to Rabbi Avin, even Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Avin's principle in general, that when it comes to an Asay and a Lota Asay, we don't mix and match, we don't say Klal Uprat. Ah, what's the din over here? What are they arguing about over here? They are arguing about this point, which is lo tibane od. What does the word od mean? Marsaber od legamre mashma. Lo tibane od means in entirety. Lo tibane od at all. Or, Rabbi Akiva, marsaber od the kamashaita. Lo tibane od, it should not be replaced or rehabilitated to the point it was before. Lo tibane od like it was before, but it could be something else, like you know, to parasim. That would be the position of Rabbi Akiva versus the position of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Eno nivneit, aval naseh teh ginot parisim. Tan Rabbanan, hayuba ilanot tlushim asurim. If there are trees that are detached from the ground, they are asur. Mechubarim, if they are attached to the ground, then they are mutarim. And that we've discussed before about the only things that get burnt up in a here on Idachat are items that are just require kibbutz, bringing them into the center of the city, and burning. Things that require, or items that require an additional action to sever them, and then to be able to bring them, they are not under the restriction or the need to burn them. And over here, if the trees are attached to the ground, you would have to cut them, then gather them, and then burn them, so therefore they're not inside of tikbutz v'sarafta. They're not in the requirement to burn them. Shil ir acheret, on the other hand, if it's from another city, ben tlushim ben mechubarim asur. Whether they're attached or not attached, they're asur. Someone says, my Yir Acheret, what are you talking about, Yir Acheret? Yir Acheret should be a kula. I mean, something from another city should be much more of a kula than what is in the city itself. And the city, you're saying, Mechubarim are okay. Tlushim have to be burnt. And now you're saying something from outside the city has to be burnt, whether it's Mechubar or not Mechubar. And how do you have Mechubar in another city? So I'm Rav Chista, Yericho. When we're talking about Yir Acheret, we're talking about Yericho. And it's a different din. It's a din about the city of Yericho. And what does this mean? Dechtiv. We have a Klala, a curse that was placed by Yoshua after the destruction of Yericho. Yoshua says this, Vaitaha ir cherem l'Hashem, the ear will be, right, cherem hi, chol asher ba l'Hashem, I mean it's it and everything that's in it will be a cherem l'Hashem, Vayishava Yoshua ba'eta hi le'mor. Yoshua takes a shua, Arur ha'ish lifnei Hashem asher yakum uvana te'ir hazot. Anybody who gets up and rebuilds the city will be cursed at Yericho, bibchoro, Isadena. If he builds Yericho, he will put the foundations of the city, his oldest child will pass away. Ubitziro, Yetziv Dalatan. When he finishes the city to put in the doors, his youngest child will pass away. Tanya. Lo Yericho Hashem Iracheret. Lo Iracheret Hashem Yericho. This restriction of rebuilding Yericho has actually two sides to it, or two possibilities. One is you're not allowed to rebuild the actual city of Yericho, no matter if you call it something else, but if that location or the spot where Yericho was once there, you may not rebuild it. Number two is, you're not allowed to call any other city Yericho. You have to wipe out its name. I mean, you have to eliminate it. So there's two restrictions. One is to build any city named Yericho, and the other is to build Yericho itself, no matter what you call it. Because it says, and we have, this is a story, and from Malachim Aleph, Perek Tzayin, it's the last pasuk in Perek Tzayin. And the Gemara is Ashkeni Darshan over here, some of the Smichut HaParshiot, which is, these are the Parshiot Eliyahu. And over there, the last pasuk in Tzayin describes the story we're about to hear. After that, there's a story about Eliyahu about there'll be no more rain in the land. And then we have a story about the woman that he goes to live by and who feeds him, and then her son passes away and he revives and he brings back to life. And then we have a story about the fact that the rain, Hashem, in the end brings rain. So those stories run from the end of Perek Tzayin through Yud Zayin and then into the beginning of the first pasuk of Yud Chet. And the Gemara is going to darshan that sequence of events. Dichtiv. Bana Chiel Beit Ha'ili et Yericho. Chiel Beit Ha'ili built Yericho. The Gemara's assumption over here is that he didn't actually build Yericho itself, but he built another city that he called Yericho. It doesn't tell us the source for that, but that's the underlying assumption. Now, it's called Beit Ha'ili, as Rashi calls it, because of the Allah, the curse. So he was Yechiel who ignored the curse of Yoshua, right? Or you could call it Beit Ha'ili, like the house of Eli, whose children are cut off or die early. So that's over here, his children are going to die off. Be'aviram b'choro yizda, with his oldest child, Aviram, he put the foundations down. Ubi Skuv, Tziro, Itziv Delata. And with his youngest child, Skuv, he put the doors on the city. Exactly what Yeshua's curse, it's coming exactly to the word. Tanya, Baviram Bechoro Rasha, Loya Lodil Mod. So with his oldest child, the Rasha of Iram, he should have didn't learn his lesson. The school's here, I'll let him out. Right then, he had to wait till school, to the Rasha school to learn. So Gemara says, Aviram Skuv Mayavit. Why is the Gemara calling Skuv and Aviram Rishayim when the problem was Chiel, their father who built the city, it wasn't them? So this is where it says, no. Achikamar, Aviram Bechoro Ayal Lumod Lo Oto Rasha. Rasha is not modifying Aviram, but rather Chiel himself. That when his oldest son Aviram passed away, that Rasha, Chiel, should have learned his lesson and know that the curse of Yeshua is coming true. Biskub Siro. Now, what about Skub Siro? Mimashma Shinember Baviram Bechoro. If we know that Aviram's the oldest, then any Yodesh is Skub Siro. Don't we know that Skub is the younger child? Mata Malomer Skub Siro. So why does the Pasuk tell us that Skub is youngest? Malamei Chayemi Kaver Valech Maviram Ad Skub. That he buried all his children. His Bechor passed away, like Yeshua said, when he put the foundations down. All of his children passed away, you know, sequentially after that, until finally he put on the doors of the city and his youngest child passed away. So Achav Shushbinei Havo. Achav was a very close friend of Chiel. Achav Melech Yisrael, the evil king, who is about to, right there before, in the couple psukim before, the whole story of Chiel comes to power. The Torah, the Navi describes, the Navi Melechim describes that how he comes to power at that time, and he marries Yizebel and all the bad that he does. So now, he, Ata Iu ve'Eliyahu, Achav and Eliyahu come, Lemishal b'shloma beit amyo. They come to pay a shiva call to Chiel about his children passing away. Yativ ka'amar. And Achav is sitting there, Dilma kimelat Yoshua hachilat. So maybe when Yoshua cursed, this is the way he cursed. Lo yiricho Hashem yiracher, lo yiracher Hashem yiricho. Maybe, you know, Chiel, you're right, you didn't rebuild the actual city of Yiricho, but you built another city that you called Yiricho. And maybe Yoshua's curse applies to both. And Amalei, yo, in. You're right, Achav, that's exactly the case. So you see here, first of all, you see, and we're going to see this again, that Achav was learned, according to the Gemara here, and knew the halacha. And therefore, he speaks up over here, and he's making accusations of Chiel that he didn't understand the curse of Yoshua, and that's why his children are dying. So Amalei, so Chiel responds, Hashta levatata de Moshe lo kamikayme. The curses of Moshe don't come true. Why? Dichtiv. If you go and worship foreign gods, if we say it's every day, that if you go ahead and worship foreign gods, avodah zarah, Hashem will stop the rain from coming. This gavra, meaning Achav, has put up avodah zarah on every high place. There is not a location within his kingdom that there's no avodah zarah. And I can't even get to these psalim to bow down to them because it's rain. There's so much rain. There's so much dirt and boats on the ground that I can't even get there because it's so rainy outside. So here Moshe cursed and said, if you worship Azara, no rain. And yet there's plenty of rain. Then you're going to think that these Talmud Yoshua, that his curse is going to come true? Meaning, how could it come true? Moshe didn't come true, then Yoshua is going to come true? Miyad. So now, what's the response? By Yom Eliyahu Tishbi, Mitoshevei Gilad, Eliyahu Tishbi from the people from the Gilad, then he says, El Achav, he speaks to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Sher Dani Lifanav, they put me before him, Imiyeh Hashanim Ha'ele Tal Umatar, there will no longer be any rain here. Eliyahu responds to, the Gemara is filling in missing pieces of the story here because they talk about Chiel and about the city of Yericho. Then they talk about that there's going to be no rain, that he comes to give news to Achav, there's going to be no rain. So Gemara is filling in the blanks or the missing, the Midrash is filling in what was missing in the story. That they went to be Menachem Avo to Chiel, then they had this conversation, and then because of what Chiel said, Eliyahu says, wait a minute, there can't be rain here because of what Achav's doing, I got to teach him a lesson. So by Rachme, Eliyahu davened to Hashem, Vavolei Eklita de Mitra. They gave him the key of rain. And we're going to see in a second, we know that there are three keys that Hashem gives to no one. That is the key to rain, key to chiyat ha-meitim, and the key to chaya, right, to the woman giving birth or the pregnancy of a woman. So he took the key, he prays to Hashem, and he gets this one key that's been given to no one. Bekam va'azal, and he leaves. He takes the key and he leaves, so there'll be no rain in the area. Va'id v'Hashem elav lemor. Lech mizeh ufanit lecha keidma, go out to the east, and he started in Nachal Krit. Go live in Nachal Krit. And then, several psukim later, it says, varvim yivim lo lechum basar baboker. He was taken care of. He goes into this creek, or into this area where there was a river, there's still water there at the time that he got there. And the Orvim are bringing him food in the morning and food in the afternoon. And he's taken care of. That's what Hashem said for Eliyahu. So, Mehecha, how did he get food? Where did they get the meat from? Amar Yehuda Marav, mi beitabchei da'achav. came from the butchers of Achav, meaning from, it sounds like, from the palace of Achav. So there's another statement over here that Achav seems to be a very religious individual, and that he is willing, or he's eating kosher meat, meaning that the meat that they're bringing to Eliyahu is coming from the house, the palace of Achav. Sounds like that Eliyahu was okay eating under the mashkiach of Achav. Then it says, Vayhi miketz yamim, vayivasha nachal. So at first, when Eliyahu got there was water in the nachal, so he drank from there, and he got his lechem and his basar from the shamayim, from the Urvim. But eventually, there's no rain for so long that the riverbed dries out entirely. So now, Eliyahu geshem baretz, because there was no rain there forever. So kevin dechaza deika tzara ba'alma. So then, when Hashem sees that there was pain, and that it was causing a tremendous amount of pain, the drought was so severe, it was causing tremendous pain, k'tiv. So Hashem tells him there's no longer any water here. Go up north, go up to the area of Sidon, Tzarafta, and then you're going to go live over there by this Almanah. She's going to take care of you. There's an Almanah up there, a widow up there who will take care of you. And that's what happens. He goes up there, Eliyahu goes up there, asks for water, for bread, and then she ends up, says, I don't have a food for my morsel for me and my son, and you're asking me for food? Eliyahu says, don't worry, if you feed me, you'll be taken care of until the drought is over, and the famine is over, and that's exactly what happens. She takes care of him, and she has food all that time. Then, what happens after this, this widow that's taking care of Eliyahu is the first pasuk of the the last pasuk of this, towards the end of this parak, that the child of this woman who took care of Eliyahu passes away. And she says to Eliyahu, comes and says, what? Did you come to live to me to bring the din on me? So they look on me poorly, and therefore I lost my son. And Eliyahu is in a bind now. So what does he do? He wants to take care of this woman who's been so kind to him and generous to him. So what does he want to do? He wants to bring the child back to life. But right now, Hashem has one key of Matar, which is ready with Eliyahu, and Hashem's keeping the only other two keys that he has in hand out, Tchiyat HaMeitim and Chaya. So, by Rachme, Lemitan Leiklida to Tchiyat HaMeitim. He asks for Rachme, he damns to Hashem and says, please, give me the key to Tchiyat HaMeitim. Amri Lei, Shlosh Maftechot Lo Nimtzur Ru L'Shliach, as Gemara in the beginning of Tanit. There are three keys that were never given to anyone else. Hashem keys for himself. Those are Shel Chaya, again, the birthing, conception, Shel Geshamim, rain, and Shel Tchiyat HaMeitim, and Tchiyat HaMeitim, of course, they're all thematically connected, they're all about Tchiyat HaMeitim and bringing life to the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu controls all of these keys. So Yimru, Shtayim B'yad Talmid, V'achad B'yad Rav. Now, if I give you two of them, you have Tchiyat HaMeitim and Geshem, and I keep one of Chaya, they're going to say, the Talmid has two keys, and I have one key, that's not respectful, that's not proper. So Ayti Hav, Shaklai, we'll trade. I have a trade for you. You give me the Geshem key back, and I will give you the key to Tchiyat HaMeitim. And this is the first pasuk of the subsequent parak. Lech her'a'eh el Achav. Go appear before Achav. Ve'na matar. And Hashem says, I'm going to bring back rain. Wait. Until this point in time, Hashem couldn't bring the rain. Why? Because the key was with Eliyahu. So Eliyahu controlled it. He didn't want the rain to come because of what had happened, the whole story here. So then when Hashem trades him for the key, it says all of a sudden, Ve'na matar. Then Hashem says, go tell him I'm going to give the rain, because now Hashem got back the key and he could bring the rain. So based on that, right, the Gemara fills in the story. Again, from the end of Tet Zayin to the beginning of Yud Chet, the Gemara fills in the missing blanks of why all these stories are sequentially there, and what's the connection between the stories. The quest story of Yechiel is because then they have the Avelut, which leads to the drought that Eliyahu brings from taking the key. And then because Eliyahu took the key, and he's refusing to let any rain coming, Hashem causes it that he needs to get the key of Tchiyat HaMeitim and trades it for him. And then when he gets the key back, Hashem allows Matar to come back. Darash HaGiliyah Kamei Rav Chisda. Mashal, the Eliyahu ma davar domeh. What is Eliyahu like? Legavra de tarke legale. V'avdei miftache. It's like someone who locks his possessions in a place and then loses the key. So the same thing over here. This is Eliyahu who has the same idea that when he came and took the key and he locked up the geshamim, and he stopped the geshamim came, and then he wouldn't give up the key. That's what Eliyahu was like. But eventually he does give the key back to Hashem, and then Hashem allows the rain to come. There's two points I want to make over here. I think they are from, I think Rav Shmulevitz mentions them in Sichud Musar. One point about Achav, we see what type of Jew Achav was. First of all, Achav was, number one, was going, he was paying a shiva call. Two, Yechiel. Number two is he knew the halacha about Yericho. And number three is that Eliyahu was eating the meat from his butchers. So you see what type of person he was. And I think the Rav Shmulevitz there talks about the Orba Choshech, how within a single individual, it's not a given that because someone does good or has good inside of them, that automatically the ra disappears. That you can have this inconsistency or this contradiction within a single individual of the Ra and the Tov, the Choshech and the Or. They can coexist. And that's exactly what you have in Achab. This person who is Oved Avodah Zarah, does horrible things, and with Navot, right? All these things, and his wife is Zevo. And yet, on the other hand, he has all these Tzadim that are good and positive about him. And there's no, he doesn't see a stira between the good and the bad. As what Shulevitz says, just because you do good, bad, the good doesn't mean the bad will go away. You have to make an active effort to remove the bad. So if you do good, you also have to remove the bad, and that's how a person, but otherwise you will live with contradictions of a person being good and bad in the single individual. That's number one. Number two is, Rav Shmulevitz points out about Chiel, about how much a person can talk themselves out, how biased people are about their actions. Over here, it's so clear that the curse of Yeshua is coming true. He puts the foundation down, his Bechor passes away. He puts down the, he finishes up the city with the Deltelt, and his last son passes away. It's so obvious that Chiel, that exactly what happened is exactly what Yeshua cursed. And yet, when they come and ask him about it, he thinks, no, that the Yeshua's curse shouldn't come true. And this idea that a person can deny or be in denial, that a person can convince themselves of this cognitive dissonance, that they will not face up to the reality of when something bad is happening, that they are so fixed in their ways, and don't believe that they're actually getting punished for doing something wrong, that they ignore it and they push themselves away. And we have to be aware, and that's what Shmuel is about, the fact that when things happen, that it's not just willy-nilly that they happen, that we have to see the message of Hashem in these items. And Chiel had to see the message, and yet he's nitalemim, and he walks away and closes his eyes to the fact that it's something so obvious is happening to him. Right now, Dorash Rabbi Yossi Bitzuri, Abba Eliyahu Kapad, or Kapdan. My father, but here the term father is being used as my beloved and my Rebbe. So he's saying, Abba Eliyahu, my father, my Rebbe, Eliyahu is kapdan. He's a person who's a kapdan, meaning that gets angry easily, and he's omed al dato. He's really, as we know, a kapdan. So where it says, have a ragil, the meite gabe. Now Eliyahu used to come and spend time with Rabbi Yossi and Sipori all the time in his base medrash. So, he refused to come for 3 days after he was doresh this, that Eliyahu was a kapdan. Why don't you come, Eliyahu? He says, I'm like kapdan currently, because you called me a name, you called me kapdan. So I'm like, how to come on, the kokhapin mar? He says, I know I'm right now. You know why? Because you didn't come for the last 3 days. You're such a kapdan that when I called you a kapdan, you were as angry and didn't show up for 3 days. So there's my proof that I'm right. For the fact that you didn't show up for those 3 days. And that's the idea that Eliyahu stood on ceremony, not in the negative side, but he wouldn't give the key back. He wanted the rain to stop. Hashem has to intervene to take it back from Eliyahu in order to bring the rain. Because Eliyahu was upset for the Kvod Hashem, that the people worshiping Avodah Zarah and the curses of Moshe weren't coming true, and therefore people were not believing that you didn't have to worship or you could not worship Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu was omeid, the zukanai for the Hashem, and it was a kapdan that he didn't want to allow anything to budge, he didn't want the rain to come back. And the quality of Eliyahu, I mean, he was doing it l'kiddush Hashem, he was doing it for a positive sense, but because of that, Hashem has to intervene, because Hashem has rachamim that Eliyahu didn't have at that time, and he has to intervene to bring the rain back. Right now, we're going to finish up the Masechta. It says by the Mishnah, that the reason we want to eliminate all that is in the world or associated with the Zirani Dachat, because as long as the Rishayim are in the world, the Hashem's anger is in the world. Why? Where do you have this? Man Rishayim. Who are these evil people? Amar Rav Yosef Ganve. These are thieves. Thieves are the ones that we're worried about. That's what gets Hashem upset. When a Rasha comes into the world, then anger from Hashem comes into the world. Shinamar, it says, Bibvo Rasha. When the Rasha shows up, Bagambuz, then scorn also comes. Vim Kalon, and the man of disgrace, along with him comes Kherpa, comes insult or shame. So you see that along with the evil person comes all these negative things. So too, when the Rasha comes, his negative comes. Rasha Avad Min Olam, when Rasha leaves the world, Tova Ba'al Olam, it's good for the world. How do we know that? Shemar, Bavod Rishayim Rina. When the Rishayim are wiped out or destroyed, Rina, it's a song, it's a good thing, it's a good time. That along with them goes these bad items. Tzadik Niftar Me'olam, on the other hand, when a Tzadik passes away, Ra'a Ba'al Olam, it's negative for the world. Shemar, but Tzadik Avad, Bein Ish Sam Alev, the Tzadik has been lost, and nobody pays attention. Va'anshe Chesed Nefsevim Bein Mevin, and the people of Chesed get around and they say they don't understand. Why did the Tzadik go? And they don't realize the reason that Tzaddik was taken away is because of the bad that's about to come. I mean, that why is the bad? There's a bad coming, and you know why it's coming? Because the Tzaddik was taken away before that point in time. Hashem takes the Tzaddik away, and then the the bad will come. Tzaddik ba'li olam, and on a high note here, when a Tzaddik comes into the world, tova ba'li olam, good comes to the world. Shenamar ze yinachamenu mimaseinu umitzvon yadenu. When they named Noach when he came to the world, Noach ish tzadik aya v'dorotav, and they named him ze yinachamenu mimaseinu umitzvon yadenu. That along with Noach came the brocha. Right, the Midrash talks about the fact that until that time they had difficulty working the land, and Noach helped them, whether it was with utensils or whether the fact that the land itself now became more fertile or compliant in its growth. Either way, Noach brought that. And it's interesting what we had before. Who are the Rishayim? Rabbi Yossi says is the Ganvei, the thieves. Over here he said the Tzadik Balalam Tovah Balalam, Tzadik is Noach. Noach, whose generation is destroyed because of the Hamas, because of the Gneva and the Gezel, that was when Nechtam Dinam, those are the Rishayim that we're talking about. Those are the Rishayim in the Lam that get Hashem upset, and make Hashem upset, and bring the Chonah, bring evil to the world, and anger to the world. And Noach, the one who survives, or who doesn't, who is the opposite, or the antithesis of that, he's the one that brings Nechama and goodness to the world. Okay, we'll stop over here.